coming to you from his bedroom, it's Scotty Joe. Tonight, the creator of A113 animation blog, William Jardine. Also featuring Too Cool for School solo percussionist, Scott O'Toole. And musical guest, beatbox sensation, Bruno. Tonight's episode, we went to the Conan O'Brien show and just can't let it go. Featuring the always hilarious, but sometimes scary, Vinny Dyke. I'm Guy Stewart, and this is Scotty Joe!
From the Conan O'Brien show. Tonight's guest, what was it? It was Jack McBrayer, the woman from...
One of the Bond girls, the one who drowned in oil.
Right, drowned in oil.
I saw her boom in the
right.
Movie.
Right, it was sexy boom.
And some...
And comedian Mo Mandel.
Yeah, that dude.
Holy moly. Okay, it's like such a whole new experience to be there, like, against watching it on your screen.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so much different than I thought it would be. Like, the space itself is so much smaller than I thought a studio audience space should like could be, but I loved it. It made it so much more intimate. We had great seats. We were in the fourth row,
right?
Which
we
was
were
awesome
in amazing seats.
Yeah, none of the camera action got in our way.
And like even like at the end of the show, Conan walked up the aisle and started singing what he sings. You know, he sings
it's
a little
like,
song when
the
cameras go off.
Show that doesn't get recorded.
Yeah, I looked right at Vinny.
Yeah,
yeah, we had a moment. Well, I had more of a moment than he did.
For me, I think something that I okay. So when I watched the show, I really liked the band in the in. When I watch it on TV, but when you're there, the band is like the whole show.
Yeah,
they are amazing.
The band is essential. Like I always appreciate it on when I watch it on TV because it just keeps things flowing. But like it's like the main thing that keeps the audience hyped and whatever. Like you have a little bit of a warm up guy who comes in and gets the audience like warmed up, who's really funny. But the band was on.
Jimmy Vivino and the Basic Cable Band.
They were incredible.
They all like had like little solos and
my gosh.
You
high-fived.
I did. Jimmy Vivino.
you walked right by. You stuck your hand out.
No, that wasn't.
Was that Jimmy? It's the one with the hat, with the black around the hat.
We'll look up his name.
He's all the. He's on the.
His name is
La Bamba. Great. That's his name.
That's the guy. Yeah.
That's his name.
But yeah, you stuck your hand out. He gave you a high five, and he was like, "Hey, like your hat."
While he was singing,
yeah.
It was like, and then I know I like your hat. Well, I'm going to give it a 10. I'm going to give it a straight 10. I thought it was a great show. Like, even if I hadn't watched it on TV and I just went there and someone's like, hey, see this show with me? Great show.
Awesome. Yeah. Also,
did you give it?
The realization of Andy Richter's job.
Oh, my God.
Like, Conan has the best job, you know? Because, like, all he has to do is talk to these people who come on who are famous, and he gets to, like, make fun of them, talk to them, make the audience laugh. Like, that's such an awesome job.
His name is the show.
And gets paid so much. Andy Richter gets paid so much, and he just, like, I think he didn't even say a full sentence, like, throughout the whole show. It's just, like, little quips.
Yeah,
little quips.
Right. It's important.
It's totally important. It's awesome. That's like the role you fill.
Right.
It's, like, kind of the best.
I worked too hard on it, I think, after watching him.
All right, when we come back, I sit down with William Jardine from A113 Animation to talk about what it's like running a blog, Scott O'Toole to talk about his awesome percussionist, and then beatbox sensation Bruno, so don't go away. Woo! Commercial break.
Imagine an education where extraordinary comes standard, and the power that drives us can't be contained. Where those who embrace their history become those who create it. Imagine a university.
Where I
can be unique.
In a family of thousands.
Where I can love to learn.
And learn what I love.
Your future is knocking. Open the door. Monsters University.
All right, my first guest. His name is William Jardine. He's the editor-in-chief and creator of A113 Animation. William, I give you a bow and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm very pleased to be on the show. Always nice to be invited.
Tell us where you live, because we don't exactly live beside each other.
I live at the very tip-top of England, Carlisle. right at the very top. If you go 5 minutes north, you're in Scotland. Not very glamorous, not very sunny, very rainy, very grim.
Okay, so running an animation blog, do you find it hard? I mean, because you kind of have to have a no opinion at one point, because you have to just give people the facts, but then you want to come in with your opinion. Do you kind of find that hard sometimes to balance, like, when you really love a movie or you really don't like a movie?
Well, it's always nice to have a little impartiality, but I can't say I've ever been too great at journalistic neutrality. But, I think it's pretty obvious if you read my blog what I like, what I don't like. I tend not to be too down on any movie, because if there's a film, like, I've still never seen The Smurfs. If I think a movie's going to be terrible, I don't go and see it.
Right.
The whole point of the blog is I'm a massive fan of, originally it was just mainly Pixar, a bit of Disney, but broader animation. I'm a huge fan of animation, as I know you are, I imagine most of the listeners will be.
So what's your favorite animated movie?
Always been for me Toy Story 2, which is my favorite movie, period, in general, ever. It's just, I recognize Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 3 probably better films, but Toy Story 2 I must have watched about 300 times growing up, so it's just, I've got that kind of personal connection to it.
Toy Story 2 for me was the first Pixar movie that made me cry.
Well,
when Jesse's story.
I think that now every Pixar movie has made me cry. Although, funny thing, Jesse's song never used to make me cry. I mean, obviously sad, but I used to be reasonably stable during it, and the older I've got, the less emotionally stable I've become.
So, my favorite animated movie is Up. I think it's one of Pixar's best. It sets up this biggest emotional foundation, and then completely goes off a whimsical world, because you completely believe in the characters, and they set it up in 5 minutes. It's absolutely incredible. How do you feel about that one?
Well, obviously brilliant. I've actually got just over there in front of me a signed picture of it from Pete Docter, which is pretty cool.
That is cool. How'd you get that?
I sent an email off to Pixar ages ago, this before I even had the blog, and then I heard back off them completely independently of the blog sometime last year, and they said, yeah, sure, just give us your address, we'll send you an autographed picture out, which was pretty nifty.
That's extremely nice. They are so busy over there. That just shows, like, how kind those people are. Later down the road, we're all sitting in the theater for Brave, being like, please be good, please be good.
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel about Brave? Let me hear it.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I know the Pixar doubters out there, but I absolutely loved it. Because I was expecting something a little less great, just because everyone's kind of ragging on it a bit. It didn't get as, like, sterling reviews. But when I saw it, I just couldn't understand any of the bad reviews. I absolutely loved it. The bit that always gets me the most is the little dedication to Steve Jobs in the credits.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about this. You know, 2013, we have some new animated movies to look forward to. We have Monsters University coming out. I'm excited about Frozen, which is like at the end of the year. What are you looking forward to this year for animation?
Top three for me, as you say, Monsters University, obviously, Pixar, Monsters, Inc., what is not to love.
Right.
Frozen. One main thing I've got going in favour of Frozen is, unlike other Disney films when they're released in November, December, we don't have to wait until the following year to see this one.
Oh, great! It's
December in the UK, which is always good. The other one for me is Epic. I mean, I'm a big Blue Sky Studios fan. I know some people aren't that keen on them, but I really like them. And William Joyce, whose stories the film is based on, I've interviewed him about Fantastic Flying Books and Mr. Morris Lesmond. He is absolutely lovely guy, really down to earth, really kind, and
he's had a great year,
undoubtedly. And Rise of the Guardians was great as well, from DreamWorks, based on another William Joyce book.
Loved it.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman
and Mr. Peabody. Yeah,
that's the one. I'm not overly familiar with the source material. I know of it. I've seen a few bits of it, but I think it's more of an American thing overall. But yeah, big fan of that. And yeah, Rob Minkoff as well directed The Lion King, directing it. So very eager to see that.
We don't have a lot of information on that one. I think that one we know the least about. We know a lot about Croods and Turbo, DreamWorks coming out this year.
Yeah.
They've got 4 animated films coming out this year. 4! That's insane!
You can say what you like about DreamWorks. You know, there's still people who rag on them, but they know how to churn out a lot of films. Since 2007, they have been pretty damn great, and even more in recent years, almost on par with Pixar.
The funniest movie I saw... Now, there's some arguments over what the best animated film was for 2012. I'm a huge fan of Paranorman. I know you're a huge fan of the Pirates. But for me, the funniest movie I saw last year was Madagascar 3. I just think it's hilarious. Martin Short as a seal is hilarious.
I never got the chance to check that out, actually, because this is another instance of... I mean, I'm notorious for complaining about release dates on Twitter, but...
For the people who don't know that, go right now while you're listening to this over to A113 Animation and look for William's, letter to Disney?
Well, Disney aren't the only perpetrators, but they're the most egregious company for it for me, particularly just because their films are so good, so it's a pain when you can't see them, but...
Right.
It just really, you know, I'm not sure how aware of the situation US listeners will be, but we in the UK have to wait a long time for films. Wreck-It Ralph we still haven't got. Finding Nemo 3D came out the day after my birthday in America, but we don't get until March, but for some reason get Monsters, Inc. 3D before that, which is already out here.
All right, so I have one more question for you. It's kind of a serious question. If Walt Disney were alive today, what do you think from his company would make him happy, and what from his company do you think would disappoint him?
Well, it's that's a good question, because Walt Disney, obviously you associate him with the classic Disney films, but he was a very versatile man, and I imagine... It's easy to say, oh, we wouldn't like Wreck-It Ralph because it's about video games and they didn't have them in the 30s and 40s. But I imagine if Walt was about, he would be fully aware of what it is. And it's, by the sounds of it anyway, a great story, great characters. And that's the kind of thing Walt Disney is into. But personally, for me, the most Walt Disney, in the purest sense of the term, recent Disney animated film is The Princess and the Frog. So that's the one I think he'd connect with most.
And, you know, Walt Disney was also extremely progressive and always wanted, like, the next way to animate, was always pushing his, and pushing is even the wrong word, because he didn't push, it was like he encouraged you to follow to this new styles and experimenting, and Fantasia is a huge example of that. So I feel like he would see Pixar and be like, yes, move it forward, it's beautiful. Like that. Well, William, thank you for coming on, buddy. It's been great talking to you. I wish you the best of luck with your blog. You have a great thing going, and I wish you the best, and I can't wait for what you think about these movies that are coming out that you're going to see. I'd love to have you come back on and talk about Wreck-It Ralph. It's one of my favorites, and I'd really like to dive into it with you.
Absolutely. Let's do it in mid-February.
Great. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, William.
Mira, na la trista!
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry in a dream.
All right, so I'm sitting here in the imaginary chair. My guest, all the way through the computer. This guy is absolutely incredible. He is a solo percussionist. I mean, I've seen him work with other people, so I can't just say solo. He's a percussionist, and by percussionist, I mean every sense of the word percussionist. This guy could probably bang on 2 cups and an old woman, and it would sound phenomenal. So, without further ado, please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Scott O'Toole. How you doing, Scott?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. I'm interviewing someone with the same name. It's like I'm talking to myself.
No, it's like, hey Scott, then if somebody says Scott, we both turn around.
Oh, let's do it. Let's talk to each other for a second. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Oh, wait, was I talking to myself? Hey, what's up, Scott?
Whoa, Twilight Zone. You're quite funny for someone who does percussion, but that's because you have good timing.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I had somebody tell me I had a big vocabulary for a percussionist, too. So I think people have pretty low opinions of percussionists.
Do people think percussionists are stupid? Like, all they can do is play drums and they can't talk?
Yeah, I think they get the rap because they sit in the back there and, you know, kind of horse around a lot. But,
Oh, yeah, man.
People expect a lot. People are really surprised when I do things. They're like, it's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs, I think. So.
All right, dog. Well, let me tell everybody out there on the podcast. Scott and I went to school together in college. Well, yeah, we were in the same school. He was in the school of music. I was in the school of drama. And we actually worked together a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. We did that awesome Jungle Book.
Right.
Our most recent project.
Our most recent project. A friend of mine and myself put together Jungle Book completely in masks. And we had a band come and play on stage with us, play the music, because it was a musical, obviously. And Scott was absolutely phenomenal. I can't thank you enough for that, man. That was one of the funnest experiences of my life.
Oh, no problem. It's like, it's my favorite thing to do, to get out of the orchestra rehearsal room and do something cool.
You brought a clip so that people could hear your music, get a little taste of who you are. Is there anything you want to say about this clip before they hear it?
So this was my first big commission, and commissioning basically means you hire a composer to write your piece. And so she wrote this piece for me and her to play, and this is my improvised cadenza moment on the drums.
All right, let's take a listen. Scott O'Toole's brain when he's in that moment, when he's beep-bop-ba-doopin' on all those drums, because I've seen you, buddy, and you are fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, you want to hit all the drums and not miss any notes. I guess that's a big thing. But basically, you know, you just want to do whatever comes to mind to really have that sort of immediate energy and not have anything too planned. I don't go into like a cadenza moment like that where it's absolutely free.
Right.
I don't really plan what's going to happen. You know, it's really note to note, and whatever chemistry is happening between me and the musician and me and the audience is going to affect that. So that's kind of whatever I'm feeling at the moment, you know?
So when did you discover that this was your passion? When you were a kid, I imagine you kind of walked through the grocery store and you're just kind of hitting everything with pencils.
Actually, I didn't play percussion until I was in high school. I played flute and piano.
Okay.
Growing up, because my cousin Holly played the flute, and she was like beautiful and popular, and everybody loved her. And I said, I want to be just like Holly. So I started playing the flute. And then I saw the movie Drumline, and I was like, okay, I know how to do music, and I really want to play drums now. So in high school, I switched.
So
I could read the music in addition to all the rhythms. So I became, you know, pretty high up on the drum group, so I got pretty popular at that, and I just kind of stuck with it ever since.
That's amazing, and you, I mean, whenever I imagine someone that has, like, dedicates their everything into putting it into their art form, man, you pop into my brain, because you go crazy on those drums, and I absolutely love it. But before we close up here, how can people get in contact with you? How can they, like, shout out to you and say, hey, play for us, or what are you doing next? How can they stay up to date with Scott O'Toole?
Well, my very next thing, I won the concerto competition at my school, so I'll be playing Marimba Concerto on February 7th here in Alabama, Tuscaloosa. You can go to my website, scottotoole.com,
great,
to find more about me, listen to some more sound clips, and see what I'm doing next.
All right, thank you, Scott. When we come back, musical sensation Bruno with some beatbox. Week's episode of the Scotty Joe podcast. I want to thank my special guests for coming on: William Jardine, Scott O'Toole, Vinny Dyke, Kai Stewart. Thank you guys for all coming along, and thank you, Kai and Vinny, for going to the Conan O'Brien show with me because it was awesome. I love the show. Anyways, seizures aside, thank you everybody for coming on. If you like the podcast, if you want to listen to more of the podcast, you can go to scottyjoe.com, comment, message, listen, share, do whatever you need to do. You can follow us at Twitter at @scottyjoe22. Is that it? And on YouTube at the Scotty Joe Podcast. Feel free to share, reblog, post, tweet about it, do whatever you need to do to make sure these podcasts get out there. I'm Scotty Joe from the Scotty Joe Podcast. And to, man, I don't even know how to say this, to end us tonight on like one awesome note with a very special guest, Bruno, that's spelled BR1. Bruno is here to lead us out with an awesome, awesome beatboxing track. This guy is a mouth of sounds. All right, I'm just going to let him do his thing. Bruno, take it away. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.